So we're approaching Shavuos, Simirtz Hashem, in a few nights from tonight. And when it comes to Shavuos, we of course look at the Parsha of Yisrael, look at the Parsha of Kabbalah HaTorah, when we got the Torah at Har Sinai. And there's a very interesting pasuk that's said there. The pasuk reads that B'nai Yisrael were Royim Es HaKailos. Klal Yisrael were able somehow, some way, miraculously, as Chazal say, to see the Kailos. They were able to see the sounds that were being emitted at Har Sinai. Those voices that normally cannot be seen. We don't see voices. We hear voices. We don't see voices. But yet over here, Klal Yisrael had this chus to actually miraculously see the Kailos. And there are many such miracles that surrounded Matan Torah. And the question is, why was this miracle necessary? What is the takeaway from this exact miracle that Klal Yisrael were able to see the Kailos? There's an interesting Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, said something cute. He said that if a person would not see the Kailos, meaning if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say the Aseres HaDibros, and we would not actually be able to see the way they were written, but instead we would just hear them but not see them, so then when it comes to certain psukim, it wouldn't be clear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant because we don't see the way it was written. So for example, it would say, Lai Signaiv, don't steal. So we know it means don't steal because we can read it, Lamed Aleph Sigzel. But let's say you were just hearing it, so some people with like a warped mind might say, I know what Hashem wants. Lai, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, Signaiv, you should steal. You should steal. Lai, Sinaf. It's a good thing sometimes to commit adultery, and you do it in the sake of religion for some. Somehow we'll be able to figure out a way to pull that one off also. Lysirtzach, many people throughout the millennia have killed in the name of religion, thinking that it's a big mitzvah. I see what the Crusades did, and so many of the other Gaim throughout history have killed millions and millions of people, all in the name of religion. So for that, says the Imre Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give this miracle to be Roya Es HaKailos. They have to see the sounds. They have to see that Loya was Lamed Aleph. And they have to see that Loisirtzach is Lamed Aleph. And Loisignav is Lamed Aleph. Because if not for that, then we might have walked away from Har Sinai with a very, very wrong impression. I wanted to suggest perhaps another deep understanding of what the miracle of seeing the Kailos, what exactly the import of that is, and how we are supposed to take something away from that forever. About a week ago, at my Shabbos table, I was discussing with my children about people that are smart, people that are brilliant, people that are very accomplished in life, people that are able to, you know, become big talmidei chachamim or very good at what they do in terms of their professions, their careers, smart people, what we call smart people. And I asked my children, I said, what do you think, in one word, is the key ingredient that a person needs to be smart? What is it? If you'd have to touch up what makes one person smart and one person not smart, one person successful in his career or her career and one person not, what would you say is that difference? What would you say is that difference between a smart person and not? What touches up? What embodies a person that's smart? What is it that he has that most other people might not have? And every one of my children said different answers, and I think they were all very good answers. One said IQ. Person has natural ability to, you know, to understand things, to have a good grasp of something. Another person said they have to be able to be very studious. You have to be able to have what we call in Yiddish Sitzfleisch, the ability to sit and study for long hours, to be diligent. Some people say they have a driving ambition, an ambition. That's what makes them so successful and smart. And I said, you're all right, but I think that I'm the rightest. I think I know the real answer to what really is the key to success when it comes to being a Talmud Chacham, when it comes to being smart. And the one word is curiosity. If a person is curious, if a person has a curious mind to try to figure out something, then that's really the first step to being smart. If you're telling me something, if I'm going to a class in quantum physics and I have zero interest in the topic, I just need to get credits or to for my major or for the core, and that's the only reason I'm taking, but I have zero interest in that or earth science or anthropology or whatever it is that I'm taking, and I have no interest in it, I might do very well on the test because I'm smart or I have diligence, but the day after that test is given or when the finals are given, I will not want to know or remember anything about that course. How many courses have we taken throughout our life that we had zero interest in? We had to take for the major, for the core, whatever, but as soon as it was over, we were so happy to be done with it, and we consciously like hit the delete button in our brain because we had no interest in it. When a person takes a personal interest in something, when a person has curiosity about something, when I say, you know what, I don't want to just study this because it's something that I have to do, but rather I am curious about what it's all about. If you have that attitude, that makes all the difference in the world between being smart and being not smart. I know people that they love trying to understand how things work. When I was a teenager, there was a very popular book that came out. I think it's called How Things Work, or The Way Things Work. And it basically goes through a lot of different things. How does an air conditioner work? Anyone wonder, like, we press a button and the air conditioner just blows cold air. How does that happen? So most of us don't care. As long as it's cool in the room when I come in, I couldn't care less about how the thing works. But then there are people that actually want to know, how does an air conditioner, it takes hot air from the outside, it sucks it into the vent, and then somehow there's a cooling agent that cools it, and then it pumps it in, and then it has an exhaust, and it takes the hot air out, and it's a cycle. And then how does an airplane work? How does a Frisbee work? How does a refrigerator work? How does an airplane, how do all these things work? Now, most people couldn't care less. You know why? Because they don't have a natural curiosity to figure things out. They're just happy if it works. They know there's an invention called, there's a telephone, and I don't care how the wiring was hung. I don't care how many millions of miles of wires it took to patch together this network of telephones and how they have to run it underground to get to Europe and China and wherever. Couldn't care less. As long as I pick up the phone and there's a dial tone, or as long as for cell phones, I'm able to get the number that I want and call it, I don't care how cell phones work, but there are people that really deeply care about how things work because they're curious. They're curious about these things. There are people that every week do Kiddush Levana. They go out Matzai Shabbos, not every week, but once a month. They do Kiddush Levana. They go out. They say Kiddush Levana, and that's it. They go, they give their sitter back in the shul or whatever, and you go home. There are people that actually want to know about the Levana. They want to know, how does it work? How come sometimes the Levana, the moon is on one side of the shul, sometimes on the other side of the shul? How come the moon is, waxes and wanes, and the sun and the moon, the orbits, the stars? People care about that. There is a big Rosh Yeshiva, a big gadol, his name was Rabbi Yisrael Belsky. And Rabbi Yisrael Belsky was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tarvadas. And he was like a world-class genius. Forget about what he knew in Torah, which was off the charts. But he knew everything about everything. He was known to be, since I was a kid, I remember in high school, I heard him speak. He came to Amalav Amalka in my high school. He was talking about things that, like, genius things, genius. But he knew he could be conversant and really with a deep understanding of the science of music, mathematics, calculus, creation, earth science, astronomy, astrology, shechita, animals, anatomy, human anatomy, surgeries. He knew everything about everything because he was so brilliant, which he was, not because he could finish a book in one night, which he did. That's part of being smart, but it doesn't start there. It starts with a spark of curiosity. When a person has a spark of curiosity, that's when a person is able to really be very successful. They tell a story about Rebelsky that he was once walking in Camp Aguda, one of the summer camps of Agudas Yisrael of America in the summer. He was one of the rabbis, one of the heads of that camp. And he used to take walks with his students at night. And, as he was going on these walks, he would point out different types of botany, vegetables that are growing, poison ivy, trees, different types of things. He knew everything. And then one night they were taking a walk together and he looked up at the sky and he seemed a little bit like puzzled about something. And they said, Rebbe, is everything okay? He says, no, something's not okay. He says, what is it? He says, there's a single star that should be over there, but the star is for some reason not there. It moved. And I can't figure out why. So they said, Rebbe, you sure about this? He said, yeah, call NASA. Or call, the U.S. space, whoever's in charge of the space of astronomy in the U.S. government. They called that place. They got the number. They called that place. And they said, our rabbi says that there's a star off. They said, how do you know about that? So I don't know. He was just taking a walk. He looked up. They said, we're on top of it. We don't exactly understand it either. But we're monitoring it, like with a Hubble spacecraft. Like they're trying to do maneuvers to figure out what happened to that star. But Rebelsky chapped that there was something wrong with the star system. How did he know that? How come you and I don't know that? Because we're not as smart as him. That's just an excuse. The reason is because we're not curious to know about the star system. If we were really curious to know about the star system, we would make it our business to take out books from the library or to look it up online and to really study it and to figure out all the constellations and all the... We have the head for it. We're able to figure out other things. We're able to get through college classes and get through a lot of other difficult things. If we had curiosity about the star systems, we would know. We just don't. We're not curious about it. If we would be curious about it, then we would be able to really be brilliant. Not maybe like Rebelsky in everything. We don't have enough time. We can't read things enough. We can't absorb enough information to really make it, to make it work. But we could find a few things that we really are curious about and try to focus on them and really be good at them. Now, I'm talking about... Tonight, I'm really talking about Torah. I'm not really talking about... other things, although it really could apply across the board, but obviously this is Shir, and we're talking about Shavuah, so I'm really focused tonight about Torah, but the truth is it's true about everything and anything. If you want to have a curiosity, if you have a curiosity about something even random, you could do it. You could do it. It's just that we don't. Our mind is incredible. Our mind is incredible. I went with my daughter a couple of months ago to a Home Depot, and I was looking for a little screw, like a little type of, it was like something like a door stopper, or some specialty item that they don't have in every store. It's hard to find. It's not a major thing that you would know it. And I went over to one of the workers in the Home Depot wearing one of those orange aprons, very hard to find those guys. You know, it's a huge, it's like a city and you can't find them. But I found one of them. I say, buddy, could you help me? I need a certain, you probably don't know where it is, but I need a certain type of screw that goes into a door to stop it or whatever. So he looks at me and my daughter. He says, that would be aisle 33 on the left-hand side, third row from the, third shelf from the bottom. I was like, wow, how did he do that? My daughter was like really flabby. Is this, we like walked away. Is this guy like the rugged shover? He must be a genius. There must be 30 million products in the Home Depot. And this guy knew exactly where this product is. It's incredible. What's the answer? He's not a genius, but this is his business. This is what he does. He has to have a curiosity about it, because if he doesn't have a curiosity, he's not going to know. And if he doesn't know, he's going to get fired. So our minds, he's not smarter than we are. If we would want to have a curiosity about where every time Tisus says Tema Lari, a certain Lushan in Tisus, or wherever Rashi says, I don't know something. There's a Rashi in Brachas that says, Eini Idea, I don't know. Rashi is very honest. He said, when he doesn't know something, he says, I don't know. And then there's Reb Kiveger in the margin of the Gemara, brings down like another 30 times throughout Shas that Rashi says this. And then Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Bnei Brak adds another 20, 30 Marmakaimis on the side of his Gemara to the case of the Reb Kiveger didn't write in his Gemara. Not that Kiveger didn't know those, but he knew he just didn't write, he just didn't write all of them, but Reb Chaim Kanievsky did. Now, why don't we know that? We do know about, some of us know very well, movies. We could name, so I know guys that could name you any line. If I would say a line from a movie going back to the 1930s, they'd be able to say that was Casablanca, and this person said that person said that, you know, and then you say, every scene, they know every scene in the movie. So that's a guyness, right? Is that a genius? It's not a genius. This guy just loves movies. He loves movies. He loves movies so much. He made his life into movies. There are people that could do that with music. There are people that could do that with sports. We know many people. They know every baseball player's RBI. They know all the stats. They know his, whatever it is. They know. They know every, you know, who won the 1974 World Series and how it ended and what score. They know everything. Are they geniuses? They're not geniuses. They're not geniuses. They just had a curiosity to know something. When you're curious about something, you also could be a genius in that particular thing. So what I was proposing was that it's not really IQ that makes a person smart. Obviously, it helps to have a naturally good brain. If you have a photographic memory, that means you'll do really well on tests because you could just read your notes and snap a picture and you have like a cheat sheet right in front of you when you're taking the test. Obviously, that's a great thing. But that doesn't last. That type of chachma is very short-lived. But if you really want to be smart and retain that smartness and live a smart life and really embrace the Torah and embrace the mitzvahs and embrace all of these many pieces of knowledge that you have to gain, the one thing that you need from the get-go is curiosity. If you're not curious, forget it. You don't stand a chance. If you're curious and you really like want to understand, how does this work? I'm curious to know what this Gemara is about. I'm curious to know what this Taisa is about. I'm curious to know the Taimei HaMitzvahs. I'm curious to figure out exactly why Rashi and Taisa are arguing. If you're really curious about it, you'll roll up your sleeves and you'll get to the bottom of it. Even if it doesn't matter in life, even though no one's paying you and no one, you're not being employed by the Home Depot, but I naturally want to and need to know what the Torah has for me. What is it? And when a person really has that desire, watch out, this guy is heading places or this girl is heading places, because there's so much that a person can gain if they just have that special spark called curiosity inside of them. Many people are very not curious. I couldn't, many people have the attitude, I don't care. I just don't care. As long as the thing works, I don't care. I don't care how people cook this food. I don't care how the refrigerator that stored the food works. I don't care about how the people that made the food live or what their, you know, where their education was from. I don't care. Just give me the food. Like Esav, Haliteni nam min adam adam adam. I don't care about anything. I just want the food. Throw the food down my throat, Esav said. That's what an Esav does. An Esav is just a very superficial type of guy. Just give me the food. That's all I care about. What goes into it, thanking the person that made it, understanding the culture of the menus that the food is being spiced with and prepared by. I don't care about that. It doesn't interest me. The kashrus of the food, the shchita, the hechsher, the mashkiach, the all the things that go into before it gets into. I don't care. Just give me the food. People that really are smart, they're curious. They want to know. Tell me a little bit more about the food. Tell me about the halachas of food. Tell me the halachas of shchita, of malicha, of taruvis. I want to know these things. I want to know. I want to understand Pesach and chametz and matzah and gebraks. I need to know these things. Are you curious about these things, or is it just something that, you know, you have to check the box that I know that I don't eat gebraks on Pesach, and I know that, and that's all you need to know. I know I don't eat, now the rest of it, I don't, why gebraks, who gebraks, where the minna come from, who does hold, who doesn't, rishayinim, achreinim, ladam, I don't care. Just, I know that I can't eat gebraks, that's all that matters. Or I can eat gebraks, I don't eat kidneys, I do eat kidneys, but why, who, where, there's a whole tire there. I don't care, I don't care enough to do that. If you don't care, you're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. In order to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to really open up your eyes and care about these things. Have the curiosity to explore these things, to look, to do research, to figure out, even on a basic level. I mean, if you want to, today, everything is literally at the click of a button. You want to know about kidneys, you type kidneys into Google, and you'd be surprised, you know, how much tire you could find just on the internet. I'm not saying that's the best source always to get tire, but it's a good place to start. But are you curious enough even to do that? Or would you rather Google, you know, when is coronavirus going to end? Or whether, you know, like all these things that are no one knows the answer to, but we're obsessed by it a little bit. So, but there's so much that we could want to know. And if we would be able to really somehow become curious, even if we're naturally not curious, but make ourselves curious and ask questions, that's a very, very important, maybe the most important element to becoming a Talmud Chacham. I want to tell two stories that illustrate this concept of the bikush, the unquenchable thirst for knowledge. So one story is told about a great Talmud Chacham. His name is Rav Isaac Al-Kharif. Rav Isaac Al-Kharif lived in the early 1900s in Europe, and he was known as the Kharif. His name was Kharif. Kharif means like Kharif. He was very sharp, brilliant. Not only was he very sharp, he was also a very wealthy man. And he had a daughter. And this daughter was of marriageable age. And I don't know if it's politically correct to say this, but because, you know, she was an attractive girl, because her father was a very big Talmud Chacham, and because they happened to have had a lot of money, so she was obviously a very desirable, eligible young lady in the Shidduch market. Now, the father knew that, obviously, Rav Isaac Al-Kharif was very smart, and he wanted to get the best boy for his daughter. So he didn't just call Shadchanim and have them, you know, come to his shidduch dates and whatnot, and he did it the opposite way. What he did was, he decided he was going to go to the yeshivas. There weren't as many yeshivas back then as there are today, but he would go into his horse and buggy at a chashava, you know, car in those days, a horse and buggy, and he said, I'm going to find a really good big Talmud Chacham for my daughter to marry. So he went to the first yeshiva on the itinerary, and he told the reshiva that he was looking for a shidduch for his daughter, and would it be possible to go into the Beis Medrash and ask a question in the Beis Medrash about on learning, a question in learning, a very, very deep and penetrating question on the sugya that they were learning, on the Gemara, on the topic of Gemara that the whole yeshiva was studying at the time. And he basically stumped everybody. He went up to the Aron HaKodesh, he asked the entire room, does anyone know the answer to this question? Everybody said, what do we get if we know? Well, you can have a chance to meet my daughter, and if it goes well, you can marry her. So there's a big tumult. He asked the question. Everybody was tumbling and screaming and trying to figure out the answer and presenting this answer, and Rabbi Zigel Charif knocked it down and disproved that guy's answer and refuted that guy's answer, and basically everyone was stumped. And then he said, okay, I'm sorry, nobody got the answer, I'm going to the next yeshiva. So he goes from yeshiva A, now he travels to yeshiva B, in the same exact scene, he asked the Rosh Yeshiva Rishos, he got Rishos, he goes and he says, this is his question, and big tumult in the Beis Medrash, nobody's able to answer the question correctly, and he goes off to a third yeshiva. And the same exact thing happens, he's stumping every yeshiva. But at this yeshiva, the third yeshiva that he went to, as his horse and buggy was like taking off and the wheels of his carriage were like kicking up mud, all of a sudden he heard a knock on the door of his carriage. And he said to the driver, stop the carriage, hold the horses. And the horses stopped and he rolls down the window. He sees a yeshiva bacher who has all mud all over his shirt because of all the mud that was kicked up by the wheels and the horse's legs. And he says, what can I do for you? He says, you asked that question in the Beis Medrash. He says, yeah. He says, you have an answer for it? He says, no, I don't have an answer. But I'm not letting the Rav leave until he tells me the answer. I don't care that I have the answer. You ask the question, I demand to know from you the answer. What's the answer? I'm curious to know the answer. And Rabbi Zigel Charif says, you're the bacher for my daughter. That's what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for the biggest genius. Not always is the biggest genius the biggest bracha. Sometimes the big geniuses are people that crash and burn in life because they have so much potential, but they don't use it properly, and they're so way ahead of the pack that they don't use any amelus, they don't try, they have no toil, they don't make it to the end. I was looking for somebody like you who had the curiosity to know the answer, because that's really the sign of a future Talmud Chacham. I don't want a Talmud Chacham today. I want somebody that will develop into a Talmud Chacham. And you have that kishron. You have that talent, clearly, because you ran after me to know the answer. And when you're able to do that, then that means that you are a budding Talmud Chacham. And sure enough, they got married. We know the actual name of this fellow. I have it in my cards in yeshiva, but the office is locked. The whole building is locked. But we know the person's name. It's a funny name, like a long name. But he became the son-in-law of Rabbi Zigel Charif. All because he had this curiosity. Because curiosity is the seed of intellect. I don't know if that's a quote, but I just made that up. It sounds really good. Anyway, now, that's story number one. The second story that I have to share with you this evening is a story that involves a boy by the name of Yosela Mislutsk. Yosela Mislutsk when he was a young boy in the city of Slutsk, which was a major Jewish city in Europe, he was, I guess you would describe him as a terrorist, for lack of a better word. He was like a nightmare because he always played hooky from school. And he used to while he was playing hooky, he did all types of shtick and he broke people's windows with his baseballs and he would run away then and graffiti things. He was doing a lot of bad stuff. He wasn't exactly, an Aleph Talmud in the local yeshiva, to put it mildly. And one day, this Yasala was walking down the street, and he overheard, like on a window in a building that he was walking by, a father scolding his son. And the father was screaming at the son and says, "You are such a chutzpanyak, and how could you, and are you crazy? Why did you do that? What are you, the way you're acting, you're acting exactly like Yasala." Meaning Yasala became the poster boy for bad behavior in Slutsk. It was like the biggest klala to be called Yasala. And Yasala, like, it was like one of those moments, like those, the life-altering moments of a person's life. Because he stopped and he says, "Wait a minute, I knew that I wasn't exactly like the Spitz guy in yeshiva, but I didn't know that I was that bad, that people were using me as like an example of the worst person that you could ever want to raise your child to be. I didn't realize that it got that out of hand." And he realized then that he had to change. He had to do something really, really radical. Now, he wasn't a bad boy. He just was like, maybe he was so smart that he, like Einstein also, they said he was horrible in school. They thought he was like an idiot because he failed all his tests. So that just because he was so above that he had no interest in what the teacher was saying. But anyway, not clear exactly what happened, but we know that Yasla came home and told his father. He comes into his father's study, knocks on the door, the father looks up, he says, "Yasla, do I owe anyone money today? Like, what'd you break? Like, who'd you vandalize today? Like, what? So he says, "No, Tati, everything's okay." He says, "Oh, good." He says, "So what are you coming to me about?" So he says, "Tati," he says, "what's the best yeshiva in the world?" He says, "The best yeshiva, the Harvard of yeshiva, is Volozhin. Volozhin's the Spitz yeshiva in the world. That's the greatest yeshiva." He says, "Tati, that's where I want to go now." He says, "I want to go to Volozhin. You're going to see I'm going to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Nothing is going to stop me." He says, "Yasala, it sounds great, but I'd appreciate maybe just go back to your local yeshiva and learn like Mishnayos, like Aleph Beis maybe. Like, before we jump to like Kitzais, Nesivas, Rashbas, or Kivegas, like maybe just like... just go to the local yeshiva and just be normal for a few days before we go." He says, "Tati, no." He says, I need right now to go." He says, "Listen, whatever you say, fine." So he gave him the money. He got on a caravan or whatever it is, whatever the equivalent of a bus was in those days, and he got a ride to Volozhin. And he gets off the caravan and he goes into the Volozhin yeshiva. He goes into Reb Chaim Volozhiner's office. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the Gadol Hadar. He was the Talmud Muvak, the primary Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. In order to get into Volozhin, I believe you needed to know 200 Blat Gemara, Rashi, and Taisus by heart to get in, just to get in. And it was they're very selective. They didn't even if you knew that, they still looked into you. They wanted only the cream of the crop of all the yeshivas in Europe came to Volozhin. So anyway, Reb Chaim Volozhiner has a knock on his door. He says, "Come in." Yasala of Slutsk comes in, sits at his desk. He says, "Shalom Aleichem, what's your name?" "Yasala, which city?" "From Slutsk." "Very nice. What can I do for you?" He says, I'd like to come to the yeshiva." He says, "Okay, you should have really applied or whatever, fine. You're here already, okay, I guess you want to take a fahar, you want to take a test." He says, "So, go to the Beis Medrash, bring me a zvach, and we'll start with that." So, Yasla says, "Excuse me, with b'mechilas kveid Rosh Yeshiva, have to ask you forgiveness, but I don't know any Gemara. I don't know any Gemara." He says, "You mean you don't know zvachim, but you know Menachas?" He says, No. You know Shabbos probably, right?" No. He says, "Saita, Megillah, Tainus, Arias, like, what? Nothing. I know nothing. I don't know Gemara. I don't know Mishnayos. I barely can read Hebrew, but I do know one thing. I have the curiosity to be the Gadol Hadar. I want it so badly right now. I want to steig so badly. I want to grow in my learning and my Yerushalayim, my spirituality. And I'm so hungry and so thirsty for it that I will stop at nothing. You will not regret your decision if you let me into Volozhin. I promise. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner saw something very sincere about this young man. And he called in the finest of the guys in the Beis Medrash, like a few handpicked Talmidim. He says, Chaim, you're going to teach Yasala Mishnayis. And then Pinchas, you're going to teach him Chumash and Rashi. And then come back to me in a few weeks. Once he gets his feet wet in that, then we're going to find Menachem is going to teach him Gemara Rashi. And then Yeshaya is going to teach him Taisus. And then we're going to get Rishayim out. We're going to get Achrayim out. I see greatness in this young man. He's curious. He has a real rutzen. He's a mevakesh. He's a person that's seeking to be a Talmud Chacham, and he's not stoppable. And sure enough, Yasala was lapping up this knowledge. Before long, he finished Chumash Rashi. He finished Nevi'im and Ksuvim with all Mefarshim. He finished Mishnayis, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And then he started with Gemara. And he chazered, and he retained it, and he was Mechadish. And before you knew it, he was the best guy in Volozhin. But he was really the best guy, not just for Shidduchim. He was really the best guy in Volozhin. And he got married. And before he got married, actually, he got a letter in the mail from his parents that your father is very sick. Mother wrote him, you have to come home. You have to help with the business. So he brings it to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. What should I do? Chaim says, you can't go. Because if you go, you're not going to come back. And your job in life is to be a Talmud Chacham. And when his father ultimately died, he sat Shiva and Yeshiva. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner knew that this was the future God of Ladar. And then there was a fire in the town that he came from in Slutsk. Half the stores burned down and the family business was down. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner still, even though we don't understand it, but Reb Chaim Volozhiner still insisted that he stay. And he became Mamish Agadol Batayr. We have Svarim from him. Chidushei Rav Yosef Mislutsk. Chidushei Rav Yosef Mislutsk. Many years later, after he was sitting in Kailo for 10, 15, 20 years, and he was really, like, huge in learning, there was a delegation that came of Balabatim from the city of Slutsk, and they said to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, we're looking for a Rav, and we know that this is the place, this is the hothouse, this is the greenhouse that produces Gedolei Yisrael. We're an Irvein B'Yisrael, we're a very chashuv city, we need somebody really that's a superstar for us. So he says, one second, I think I have the perfect person for you. And he calls in from the Beis Medrash, Yasla. But before Yasla comes in, he says, do you remember there was a boy growing up in your town? His name was Yasla. They all started, all these old Balabatim remembered the terrorist Yasala, and they were breaking into a cold sweat. They said, yeah, we're still shaking from him, that kid. That kid was like Dennis the Menace. He was like so scary. He says, well, that's good that you're afraid of him because it's important to be afraid of your Rav. And he's going to be your future Rav. And he was brought into the room and they were reintroduced. Now it was Harav Agayin Rav Yosef Mislutsk. He went back to Slutsk. He became the Rav of Slutsk. Rav Baruch Ber, when he used to tell over this story, he would say that the Satan has so much power that he's able to burn down half a city just to get a yeshiva bachur to stop learning, to break him away from his Gemara. Because that's what the Yetzirah tried to do in order to stop his trajectory to greatness. But what we see from these stories, Rabbi say, is that a person needs curiosity. That's the core of becoming a Talmud Chacham. If you have curiosity, people with curiosity are slated for greatness in life, in every field, but specifically now we're talking about Torah. If you're naturally curious, if you want to know about things. You're learning a certain Gemara this year. You're learning halachas this year. You're learning chumash. You're learning neviim, and you're just like bored to death. And you have no. What does it have to do with me? I don't care. It's not practical. It's not. We're learning about bava kama, about a shar, about an ox that gores a donkey, and the donkey was pregnant, and the donkey had children, and the miscarried, and who has to pay? I couldn't care less, buddy. Like this doesn't. If you have that attitude, then you're not going to be a Talmid Chacham. If you want to roll up your sleeves and say, I need not just to listen to Shir, but I want to like really understand it. I want to try to use my creativity and see things clearly, exactly what's going on here. I want to not just eat matzahs, but I want to know the halachas of matzahs. And I want to understand what's chametz, what's matzah, what kind of wheat can I use, what kind of grains can I not use. What are the chumras? What are the kulas? What's gebrux? What's maror? What's safik kaimin? What's dalet kaisa? Is it daraisa? Is it derabbanan? What does the Rambam say? What does the Rishonim say? If you have that type of attitude, then you're going to be amazing because you are so naturally destined for brilliance because you're curious. If Yassel Slutsk was not curious, he wouldn't become Yassel Slutsk. If this son-in-law of Rav Isaac Chariff couldn't care less, and he just was, okay, that was a good question, it was very interesting. He would never become who he was. He became who he was because he needed to know the answer. It wasn't just enough to hear the question, he needed to see it and feel it and get to the bottom of it. That's what it takes to be successful in Torah. And getting back to our original question, about why it is so necessary to have this miracle at Har Sinai, at Mount Torah, of to be Royim Es HaKailis. We heard the Aseres HaDibros, we heard it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that you were able, if you wanted, to see it. You know why? Because Eina Daima Shmiya L'Ra'iyah. You can't compare hearing something and seeing something. If you're just hearing a shir, you go to a nice drasha, you can go on Torah anytime, get 1,000, 10,000 shirim, new shirim every year, millions of hours. If you're not prepared, all you're doing is you're on the treadmill, you're on the bicycle, you're taking a walk, you're taking a jog, you're listening to a shir and say, wow, that was a good shir, bravo, you know, he's really, I love that speaker, you're a big fan. That's not going to change you. That's not going to make you a Talmud Chacham. It'll make you, it's better than listening to, you know, to music while you're exercising or while you're in a car. But you're not going to be a Talmud Chacham just by listening to 100 inspirational speeches. The way that you'll be a Talmud Chacham is, like sometimes I get emails from people, Rabbi Bamberger, I really enjoyed your this and this year. Would you mind sending me the sources, the source sheet of all your, and I don't have the patience for that. I'm sorry, I'm not that good. But sometimes I do it, but a lot of times I don't, unfortunately. But those are the people, they don't want to just hear it. They want to see it. I want to see that Rambam that you quoted inside. I want to see that Chazal that you said. I'm not taking your word for it. I want to see it myself. I wrote a book, my first book for Art School in the series was called Great Jewish Letters. And it was basically, I put 120 inspirational, powerful, important letters of Gedolei Yisrael over the last 800-900 years together in a book. And everybody loved it. But many, many people complained to me and to Rabbi Zlatowitz and Art Scroll that, where's the Hebrew? I want to see the Hebrew. I want to see the original, the letters in the original Hebrew. Why? They didn't trust my translation? They trusted my translation, but they were intellectually curious. They wanted to see it more. They wanted to explore it. They didn't want to take my word for it or my translation for it. They wanted to see it in the original. There's one thing hearing a shir, very nice, in one ear and out the other, one and out the other ear. Or you can actually, I want to see the Ma'ar Mekemes, I want to see it inside. That's a different shir. That's a different shir. It's not just passive learning. Passive learning is much better than no learning, don't get me wrong. But if you really are going to be one of these people that are going to be on fire in learning, then what you have to do is you have to see it. You have to explore it deeply. You have to have a curiosity to take it apart, to unravel it, to be able to figure out, to be able to reverse engineer what's going on, to really get a handle on what's going on. Ubnei Yisrael Royim Es HaKoyles. Klal Yisrael saw, if they wanted to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this miracle is going to last you for all times. Don't just listen to the Kailas at Har Sinai. Don't just listen to Maimon Har Sinai and to the Aseres Adivras. You have to be Royim Es HaKoyles. If you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to have the interest. Your curiosity has to be piqued to the degree that you want to see it. I want to see that Rambam inside. I want to see it in the Mishnah Berurah. You're quoting Mishnah Berurah, that's nice. I want to see it inside. Not that I don't trust you, but I want to explore it on my own. I want to see the Gemara, I want to see the Rashba, I want to see the Ritva, I want to see it all on my own. I don't want to take your word for it. You gave a beautiful drasha tonight, but I need to explore it and to take it apart myself so that I fully understand it. I don't just hear it, and like the Rabbeinu Yaina writes in Shari Tshuva, he says, "Im lo yoreihu adam es atzma." If a person is not ma'orer himself, if you don't inspire yourself and ignite yourself, ma ya'ilu hamusarim. What is the musar shmu is going to help you? Musar is going to help you. Hearing a rabbi give a sermon from the pulpit is going to help you. It's not going to help you. The way that you're inspired is that you listen to him and then you inspire yourself. You have to be Rayas HaKailis. You hear a shir, you want to see the shir. You want to be able to really comprehend, grasp it, make it your own. Master the topic. Master the shir, master the halacha, master the science of it. Understand it so fully that people will come to you and they need to understand this. That's how you could become a Talmud Chacham. I believe that's the real takeaway lesson of this Chazal, of being Rayas HaKailis, to see the Kailis. Don't just listen to a shir. Go to a shir, a brilliant shir. That brilliant shir is going to do nothing for you unless you're Rayas. But in yeshiva, what they do is they don't just give shirim. What they do is they give Mar Mekaymes. Before you go to a shir, first you study with your chavrusa, you get a list of Mar Mekaymes, which is the source sheets you're supposed to be looking up in the allotted time. Sometimes you don't have enough time to get to all the sources, but you try your best. But you get to see with your own eyes and get to use your own brain to understand the topic at hand. And then you hear what your Rebbe says, and maybe you'll agree with your Rebbe's formulation, and sometimes you're going to argue with him, but that's part of learning. But first, you want to see it yourself. You want to be able to see the kailas, to grasp the sounds. Sound is wonderful, but it's not like Ria. Ein adayim eshmiel Ria. You can't compare. It's a million miles away. Hearing something and then seeing it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was setting the template for Klal Yisrael for all times, even today in 2020. If you want to really master something, you want to be great at something, don't just say, I heard the shir and it was great shir. That does nothing for a person. In order for a person to steig, to grow, you need to be curious about it. You have to see things for yourself. You have to see the sounds. And then explore them deeper and do research on them more until you become the expert. Don't say, well, my Rebbe's an expert in that. You could be an expert if you just try. I want to wish all of you a wonderful, wonderful Kabbalah Satayra, a beautiful Shavuos. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be Zeicha this year to be Royim Es HaKailis, to see the sounds, not to suffice with superficial knowledge of things, but really to try to have this Bikush, this unquenchable thirst for wisdom and for understanding the Das Elyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom, which is embodied by the Torah HaKadosha.